KLYT. This is ABQ Connect. There's still time to join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE.
Thanks for joining us today on ABQ Connect. Our next guest, Rabbi Kurt Schneider, according to his own website, says a Jewish believer in Jesus, as a teacher and host of Discovering the Jewish Jesus, a TV and radio program heard in the U.S. and all over the globe. And we're going to be talking about two websites today. Well, primarily one, but I do want to make sure you know where to find teaching ministry of Rabbi Kurt Schneider. That is at discoverthejewishjesus.com. We will spend time more in our second segment than our first segment, but if you have to go somewhere, I want to make sure you get this website, takingtherainbowback.com, uniting God's people to stand up for righteousness. With that, we welcome Rabbi Kurt Schneider onto ABQ Connect. Thanks so much for joining us today.
God bless you, my friend Steve. Shalom to you, and thank you for having me on. And welcome to all our New Mexico listeners today.
Yeah, well, I tell you, I think I got an email about this campaign, and I had seen that you were a guest with Eric Metaxas, who, by the way, was 2 weeks ago, was in the pulpit here. KLYT is on the campus of Calvary Church in Albuquerque. Our senior pastor, Skip Heitzig, welcomed Eric, and Eric talked a great deal about his new book, but I appreciated the time you spent with him. It was very insightful. And before we get into all the information about Taking the Rainbow Back, which I said it's probably exactly what you think it is, Christian, but maybe even better. But before we get to all of that, for those unfamiliar with Rabbi Kurt Schneider, if you could share a little bit about your background and ministry. And actually, I know from listening to the interview with Eric, the rainbow isn't something that you're newly passionate about. This dates back, but let's start back with your testimony.
Thank you, my friend. So, yes, I'm a Jewish believer. I grew up in a very Jewish home. My mom and dad are both Jewish. I was raised in Cleveland, Ohio. And in fact, the suburb that I was raised in Cleveland, Beechwood, Ohio, was listed as having the second highest concentration of Jews anywhere in the world outside of Israel. And what that means is not that we had as many Jews as are living in Los Angeles or New York, but the concentration of Jews where I grew up was just really, really thick. Our public schools were closed on Jewish holidays because none of the kids would show up. So my background, I was bar mitzvahed in a conservative synagogue, Park Synagogue in Cleveland. But realistically, my parents, for them, Judaism was more of a identity, a way of life. And that's very true of even the majority of Jews, even of Israel. Their Jewishness is a form of cultural identity, more so than they think of their Judaism as being a lens of having a special call from God. So I grew up, again, in a conservative Jewish background, and I was a very serious athlete in school. I wrestled, like a one-track mind for me. I trained all year long. It became my identity. I was known as Kurt Schneider, the wrestler in my high school, had a medallion on my neck with a picture of a wrestler on it. I mean, I had one goal. That was to be state champ in Ohio at the weight class that I wrestled in. And I got to a place where I felt there wasn't anybody that I couldn't beat. I never did win the title, but I was in my own experience really living in a realm where I truly felt, again, just in control. And it was a great place to be. It was a great, I loved it. I loved the discipline. I loved the training. I just loved it. But what happened was when I walked off the wrestling mat after wrestling my last match in high school, even though I had a small scholarship to wrestle at the University of Tampa, as soon as I walked off the wrestling mat, Steve, it was like I didn't know who I was anymore. Because I realized when I looked into the future, I was going to be leaving home. I was the oldest in the family, and that wrestling didn't really mean a hill of beans anymore. Up to that point, I couldn't see beyond it. I had one goal, be state champ in high school. And all of a sudden, I'm leaving that environment, going to college, preparing to be an adult, to have a career, and I was totally lost. And I was so messed up. I lost my identity. I lost my security. I didn't feel in control anymore. Fear came over me like a flood. I was struggling so much that I spent as much time as possible sleeping when I was in college that first year at the University of Tampa, just to try to escape the pain. So quick forward, long story short, eventually I drop out of school. I think maybe making a lot of money will help ease some of the pain, even though I knew deep inside it wasn't a great answer because I grew up in a fairly wealthy neighborhood and I knew people there had problems just like anybody else. But without knowing what else to do, dropped out of college to open up a discotheque. And it was during this season of my life, without knowing anything about Jesus, no one had ever witnessed to me. I had never read the New Testament. Jesus was literally as far away to me as the man on the moon. I mean, he never entered my mind. But in 1978, as I was going through this difficult time in life, again, looking for an answer, thinking maybe in making money I'd find it, I went to sleep one night, and I was awoken from my sleep in the middle of the night into what I would call a state of conscious awareness. Suddenly, Steve, I was aware that I wasn't sleeping. It was like a heightened sense of awareness. I knew something was going on. And in that state, I had a vision. It was in color. Jesus appeared on the cross. And then a ray of red light from straight through the sky beamed down on his head, even from above the blue. When I saw that ray of red light beam down on Jesus' head, I knew that God was telling me that he was alive, that I was, you know, somehow that he knew me, and that he was showing me Jesus was the way to him. And I was fully conscious when it happened. Immediately after the vision, it probably lasted no more than a second or two. Immediately after it was over, I looked at my clock grade. It was 3:30 in the morning. And suddenly, my life had changed. I knew that God had just revealed himself to me. As an American, I knew the person on the cross was Jesus. I knew that much. That's all I knew. But I knew that God had just revealed himself to me, showed me that Jesus was the way to him. Hope came into my heart, and I knew everything was going to be okay. That was the beginning for me.
I love that confident expectation that you found in Jesus. And for most of us, whether we come from a Jewish background or just a non-Christian background, you know, when you make a decision like that, your friends and family, they often freak out. How do they respond?
Well, totally. My parents, at first, the next morning when I told them, they didn't respond much at all. They probably thought, you know, it was a dream and it'd be done with in a day. But I mean, I was marked by God. So I started telling everybody about it. And eventually somebody said to me, you need to go get a New Testament. I knew a lot of people. So I went and got a New Testament, started devouring it. And like I said, I had no idea really what I was in for with my parents or my family, because Jesus was never brought up in my life, in my home. So it was just like there was nothing about Jesus. So I had no idea the extreme anti-Jesus mindset that existed in the Jewish community, because again, he just was never brought up. But wow, when I got that Bible and I started reading it, and it was like fire coming off the pages to me, and I'd go up to my dad, I'd say, Dad, look at this verse. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. I mean, I thought it was the coolest thing, Steve, since sliced bread. I was so excited, completely naive as to how my parents would react. But when they saw I was serious, started going to churches all over the city, devouring the Bible, talking about Jesus all the time, they were very concerned. I encourage people to get my book. It's called Called to Breakthrough. You can go on Amazon, just look up my name, Rabbi Schneider, and I tell the whole story. My parents hired somebody to kidnap me, to deprogram me. When that didn't work, they hired a Jewish psychiatrist to get me probated to a psychiatric ward of a hospital. I was there for 2 months, so quite a intense situation broke up with my family and I.
Well, I have to say this. You and your ministry are fairly new to me. And as I prepare for the interview and look more into who is this rabbi, I have to tell you, I so much appreciate your surrendering to Jesus and doing the work you've done here to share the truth of the gospel of Jesus with others. And I love the wrestling background because, well, now you're wrestling with things like this issue that the campaign we mentioned, and we're up against a break. But before we go to the break, in just a minute or so, and we're going to come back and talk about it, let our listeners know what takingtherainbowback.com is all about.
Well, I will, after the break, talk about a supernatural experience I had about 3 years after the Lord first revealed himself to me, as I just described, in 1978. But the way that he revealed himself to me, Steve, was in, it was supernatural, and it was in a form that the Holy Spirit came upon me in all the colors of a rainbow. You know, we read in the book of Revelation in chapter 4, verse 3, that when John saw the Lord in heaven, he saw the Lord's throne surrounded by a rainbow. So something rose up within me in March to stand up, speak out, and to help unify God's people in righteousness to take the rainbow back.
I love this. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to, again, refer to a lot of the things that you'll find on the website, takingtherainbowback.com. We'll talk about action steps. We'll talk about effective witnessing and some ideas for sharing the love of Christ with others. Can you stay with us? All right, we're going to come back with more from Rabbi Kurt Schneider after the break on ABQ Connect.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect. There's still time to join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
We are in the midst of a conversation with Rabbi Kurt Schneider. He is the teacher and host of Discovering the Jewish Jesus. You'll find information about his TV and radio ministry that is heard in the United States, all over the United States, and around the globe, discoveringthejewishjesus.com. And actually, on that website, you'll see a link for Taking the Rainbow Back. But you can go directly to that website, takingtherainbowback.com. Rabbi Kurt Schneider, welcome back onto the broadcast.
Thank you, my friend. Blessings to you.
Well, so after after this revelation, I guess it would be safe to say that you had, was it just this past March? Is that when all of this started as far as the idea of a weekend dedicated to taking the rainbow back?
Well, basically what happened was, as I started sharing at the end of the last segment, after the Lord revealed himself to me in 1978, when I was 20 years old, by revealing Jesus to me through the ray of red light that beamed down on his head that I saw again in my sleep. About 3 years after that, in 1981, I was going through a deep season of repentance. The Lord started showing me things in my life that he wanted me to root out of my life, things that I was comfortable with up until that point. But now the lens of the Holy Spirit was drilling deeper into my life. So I'm sitting in a chair one morning, and I had given up. One of the things the Lord called me to give up was the cigarettes. Every time I would look to be satisfied, I'd go for a cigarette. Every time I got a little anxious, I'd go for a cigarette. So the Lord showed me, listen, you're looking for life in death. I want you to get rid of those cigarettes and stop looking to them for life, and I want you to turn to me instead. So I was sitting in a chair during the season of repentance, again, 3 years after I first came to know the Lord, and I was drinking a cup of tea because the tea replaced the cigarettes that I'd just given up. I wasn't expecting anything to happen, and your audience should know I've never done LSD in my life, so this was no hallucinogenic flashback. I'm sitting in the chair drinking a cup of tea, and all of a sudden, Steve, and I should say I couldn't have helped this experience along, and neither could I have stopped it from happening. It was a sovereign bam of God's Spirit. I'm sitting in the chair, and all of a sudden, the Spirit of life, the Holy Spirit, appeared above my head in all the colors of a rainbow, just swirling life above my head. It's similar to Acts chapter 2, when the Spirit appeared above the disciples' head as a tongue of fire. But with me, he didn't appear as a tongue of fire. He appeared in just a form of life. It was just swirling life on top of my head. It wasn't a thought. It wasn't like a mental impression. I mean, it was bam. It was real. And the Spirit of life swirling above my head, all the colors of the rainbow, came through my head. I couldn't have helped it or stopped it, as I said. And he took possession of my inner man, and he said, I am a servant. And then it was over just like that. That marked me. That, like, cut my soul in half. It was just like I was marked by God. I was already marked by God. I thought I was sold out already. But when that happened, wide awake, this happened to me, it was over. I was completely sold out for the Lord. So the rainbow has always been very special to me. When this happened in 1981, there was very little association with the LGBTQ's use of the rainbow. And when I thought of the rainbow, the LGBTQ movement didn't even come to mind. So I've always seen the rainbow as something that's just part of a manifestation of God's glory. You know, when Ezekiel saw the Lord in Ezekiel 1:28, he said he saw the Son of God. He said he appeared to him in the form of a man, and there was fire inside him that went up and down. And all around him, Ezekiel said, was the radiance of a rainbow. So the rainbow has very much been a part of God manifesting his glory and beauty, and that's how I related to the rainbow. So in early March, getting back to your initial comment, I'm driving down the road, and something just rose up in me, Steve. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to speak out. I'm going to drive this darkness back, and we're going to reclaim the rainbow. It seems like when I began this movement, a lot of people started speaking out. But as far as I knew, I was like one of the first people that was speaking out against this, especially in the Christian realm, in terms of taking such a bold a public stand. So we launched the movement, Taking the Rainbow Back. The last word is back, takingtherainbowback.com. And what our objective is to unify the body of Christ in standing up for and promoting righteousness in the earth. When people go to the website, they'll find an initial video that basically explains the movement and then different action steps they can take. For example, on the weekend of July 28th through 30th, we're encouraging groups, whether it be your Bible study group, your fellowship group, just a group of friends, to get the T-shirt. You got to get the T-shirt ahead of time at the website, takingtherainbowback.com. There's beautiful shirts that we're making available for $12 each. Every time we sell one, we lose money. And it's just a black shirt with a rainbow on it and scriptures and then the domain name. So we're encouraging people on the weekend of July 28th through 30th, go in public places in groups wearing your shirt. Then we've got tracks that we've also made available at the website. And basically the tracks just explain the beauty of God's rainbow, what it means. It's a message of hope. It's a message of new beginnings. And just take a stand for Christ in public places, reclaiming the glory of the rainbow for God.
Yeah, yeah. I when I saw the tracks, I thought, oh, we're going to have to explain to millennials what that is.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
But what are they're great opportunity. You know, I know in the past we've used them to leave with a generous tip for a server just different various creative ways to do that. One of the things I wanted to make sure to share with you, Rabbi, about, I don't know, within the last year. Now, we're in Albuquerque, and Albuquerque is at the base of the Sandia Mountains, which creates weather, and there's a time of the year where almost every afternoon at about 3 o'clock, the clouds kind of back up on the mountains, and the sun is low on the western horizon, and we get these beautiful rainbows when it does rain here. Actually, we get more sunshine in New Mexico than the Sunshine State. But when we do get rainbows, we get beautiful rainbows. And within this last year, I took a picture of a double rainbow and I had posted it on my social media, and I actually wrote out the verse. But all I did was post the picture and Genesis 9:13 through 16. Say no more. And it was my way at that time. And I did think about the LGBTQ community and some of my acquaintances that I'm connected with on Facebook that are part of that community, that they would see it and the love of God through his word might reach them. And I think that's really the goal of what you're trying to do. Well, on July 28th through the 30th, that's the weekend, you know, the focus of the weekend. And we do want to encourage listeners to consider being a part of that in conjunction with others that will be doing it. But this isn't something that has to stop on a weekend.
Totally, 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 100%. We're encouraging people to get the shirts right now and begin to have the courage to wear them in public places. It takes courage. Like, I'm already obviously wearing in restaurants, you know, when I'm in the airports, et cetera. So that's the first thing. The cumulative action weekend on July 28th through 30th is just like it's the, you know, it's like an inaugural. But yeah, this is something, this is a battle, as you're saying, my friend. We need to keep fighting. And the truth is that we're the salt of the earth, right? If you get a cob of corn, the corn on the cob, you don't have to put up huge chunks of salt on that corn. You just sprinkle it with a little bit of salt, and that sprinkling of a little bit of salt makes a huge difference. The same thing with us as the salt of the earth. We don't need to, you know, be the majority of the population that's taking the stand. As the salt of the earth, just the minority, just the remnant, just those that are listening right now by taking a stand. You never know how God will use you as the salt of the earth, even to reach somebody that's in the LGBTQ community, that's unhappy, that realizes they're on a dead-end road, is looking for a way out, but they don't know a way out. And then they see you with the beautiful rainbow. They go to the website, and they start considering Jesus. And people that are without hope find hope.
Yeah, and I really do want to encourage the listener to go to the website to find out more about this and pray about their part in it and pray about God moving in their heart to give them the wisdom to say the right things, to act the right way. We're preparing to be ambassadors. Well, we are already ambassadors, Rabbi, but it's so important. You know, I grow weary of hearing, Christians being accused of hate speech when the truth. Now there are some that are nasty and angry and mean. There are, you know, I'm not going to deny that. However, how often do we see it where Christians who, when I say love the LGBTQ community, they want the very best for them. And what that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what God needs to prepare our hearts to do between now and July 28th and 30th, but continuously as we move in our community with others that are part of the LGBTQ community.
Well, absolutely. First of all, concerning your comment about, you know, the enemy wants to shut us up by accusing us of being hateful. It's just a tactic of the enemy. He just wants to shut us up.
Yeah.
And actually, I'd like to invite our people right now that are listening on Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'll be doing a YouTube Live. You can go to my YouTube channel, Rabbi Schneider. And the topic of my message is, don't let Satan shut you up. That's exactly what he wants to do. He wants to shut you up. You know, basically what happened was the LGBTQ being led by the principalities of darkness that oppose everything that stands for truth and light. First they came out of the closet. Then they wanted us to respect their rights. Then they pushed their rights on us, so it's infringing on our rights. And now they've put God's people in the closet, so that God's people are accused of being haters, bigots, narrow-minded. Don't let Satan make you shut up. It's just a tactic of the enemy. We need to be strong. We need to stand out. Please go to the website, takingtherainbowback.com. Sign up to receive personal texts from me. We need to come together in righteousness, people of God, to promote God's purposes in the earth. And a little bit of salt can leaven the whole lump in the most positive sense of the word.
We've been visiting with Rabbi Kurt Schneider, and we've been talking about takingtherainbowback.com. I do want to encourage the listeners listening in New Mexico. We broadcast in Las Cruces and near Clovis and Portales, and obviously Albuquerque and Santa Fe, and online at klyt.fm. This Thursday night, it's 5 o'clock New Mexico time, YouTube, and you can do a search for Rabbi Kurt Schneider, find his channel, and watch that live broadcast. Rabbi, thank you so much for your time. And, you know, July's a little ways away. Maybe we'll talk about having you on a little bit before the weekend to remind our listeners. But thank you for your time. God bless you, brother.
I am happy to come back. Thank you, Steve. Great interview. I love you, my friend.
Likewise. Thanks for joining us on ABQ Connect. It'll be archived at abqconnect.online. Share today's conversation with someone and join us every weekday afternoon at 1 o'clock on ABQ Connect.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.